What's up? Welcome to another episode of the Behind the Wheel podcast. I'm Scott from Koenig. That's Luis. Luis told me to keep it short, so that's it. We're in.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go right into our guest.
I feel like there's been a lot of Wednesdays going on recently, you know?
No, man. There's only one a week. What kind of stuff is that? Well, who says that? Anyhow, that's like, oh, I feel like Christmas comes up on the 25th every year. So listen, so we're going to get into it. Formula Drift, obviously, full swing. A few weeks ago, we had St. Louis. There was some, I think St. Louis came with its fair share of weirdness, drama, aggression. We saw some mechanical breakage. Anyhow, bottom line is
Let's say it like this, though.
Yeah.
As a fan, I loved every second of it.
Did you?
I did. Excellent. I'm not going
to
lie.
Well, I would like to see, the live stream was popping too. And and Laurette Nickel, she seemed to spend a lot of time in the pits trying to figure out what was going on with a bunch of people. So some of these people are here, and we're going to bring them in. The famed M-Spec Performance Team.
Let's go.
Daniel Suki, Casey Cole. What's happening, guys?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, guys? What's up, boys?
Yeah, you know, we're just out here doing our thing.
Oh, there's a whole intro. There's a whole intro going on of you guys too, by the way. You guys can't see it. You'll be able to see it when it goes live.
Thanks, bro.
That's cool.
Two handsome boys.
Yeah.
So, sick. So how's it been coming off? We've already spoken to you guys early in the year, so I'm not going to save all the stuff that we probably would have done on some of the other podcasts. But this season has been an interesting season. Dan, you started on a super high note. And you've kind of been grinding and battling and really, really showing up in you know, your quote unquote rookie year. Casey, you're out there, you know, laying it down, working the new car out. So what's this year been like?
Go for it. It's weird because we're like three quarters of the way through already. And me and him have been talking quite a bit about it. And I'm like, hey, man, you're already almost done. You're coming up on your last pro spec event. And he's like, oh, my God, it feels like, you know, Orlando was – he said there's been a lot of Wednesdays. It feels like Orlando was like last Wednesday. It's been a lot to take in. It's been super cool. We've been having a lot more fun than we usually do, I feel like. And it's been turning into better results. It's been
right.
So for me
– it's been quick.
So for me, Casey, because it's your first year, and I kind of just wanted to gauge what you feel, because obviously Stuki's been in this. This is your introduction year. What does it feel like, man? Like, are you hype about it? Are you excited the way you perform? How you feel about your year so far?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of fun. I can say that. Like, it's been really awesome getting to be part of the show.
Yeah.
The car, for the most part, has been phenomenal. Like, very, very minor things, especially for like a new build. It's been great. You know, I kind of, you know, we talked in the first podcast about like managing expectations versus reality to make sure that you're like enjoying what you're doing and everything. And I would say, like, you know, I still had some expectations, like for me to be in top 10 at the end of the year is like, okay, this was a great first season. And up until last round, I was in the top 10, and now I think I'm sitting in 11th. So I'm just outside of it. So still feel really good about that. We're going into Salt Lake City, and that's a very fast road course track. You know, they're talking over 100-mile-an-hour entries. From what we can tell, we're probably going to be, like, sustaining 75, 80 miles an hour through the corners. And I love road courses. I got my license on a road course. So I'm really excited for that. I think it's a good place for us to show that, you know, we can do the tight technical, but we can also carry through and do the high speed stuff. So super, super pumped for that. But no, I've had a great time, man. I've been enjoying it. I've been loving getting to drive. It's been hot.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. I don't remember any FD season.
Yeah.
Consistently being this hot. Even Orlando, when it rained, it was like 98 while it was raining, so the rain coming down felt hot.
120% humidity and 100 degrees, like, it's just obnoxious.
Yeah.
So you know, it's kind of weird because, like, I remember the season, but honestly, like, the day after the event, I almost, like, don't remember it, because it's like, it's so hot and it's so draining and there's so much going on that, like, it takes my body a little bit of time to process the event and, like, what happened and why it happened. Like St. Louis, I, you know, Lorette came up to me and talked, and in the interview, I said my foot slipped off the clutch. And I go back and think about it and stuff. And like, no, it wasn't the clutch. It was the brakes. You know, I just knew it was my left foot. But like in the moment, like there's so much going on to like really remember every detail and what's going on and everything is it can be difficult. So, you know, overall, I love it. I love competing. I love being out there. I like being, just involved in that. And like, knowing that I belong, you know, when you kind of come into this as a rookie, it's a sink or swim. Like, hey, am I cut out for this? Like, can I do this? And you know, you can tell yourself you are, and your friends can tell you like, no, I've seen you drive, you can do it. But like, to get out there and do it and actually put points on the board and win some battles and you know, win battles against people that have been in it for a while and stuff like that, it definitely helps the confidence and makes you feel like you belong and makes you want to push a little more. So I'm stoked for how the season's gone. You know, I want a championship eventually, but you know, we're not going to get all caught up on that or anything. It's just have fun, enjoy it, and it'll come. We know it'll come. So I love it.
So Casey, you're in an interesting dynamic, right? Like you had Dan's program last year. You've kind of been around this sport for a long time. You have a lot of experience, but so with all that said, what has been the steep learning curve that you have faced yourself with your program, your car this year? Where are the pieces that, like, even though you were kind of, you knew all this stuff, you were privy to this stuff, you've been going through your own learning curve that may be unique?
Yeah, so I do have like an up swing, you know, over a lot of the other people where I know, I know the flow of the events. I know the staff, I know the line guys, I know Kevin, you know, with technical side of things, like all of those things are really like come easy to me. Whereas like the first events we had, it was like, who do we talk to? Where do we go? When do we line up? How can we pull out? Are we going to get in trouble for this? You know, like how do we do this? And so I don't have any of that. And like, thank him for taking those knocks on the head for me. You know, I would say the biggest thing for me is just managing myself in the car, you know, and not getting greedy for track time. Like, you know, we could knock out probably more practice laps than we do, but like remembering to like save the car and don't put, because we're doing double headers with mine and his, like not putting the team in positions where, you know, where I'm out there on the track in the last 5 minutes of practice before qualifying and I'm the ninth car to go. So if I wall the car, now the team's got to put the whole car back together in, you know, 20 minutes or something like that. So, just managing myself in the car and managing my time on the track and, making sure that I'm looking at it as a team perspective instead of just an individual perspective is probably the biggest thing. Whereas, you know, up to this point, if I was competing, I was the only one that was competing because it was like pro-am, you know, Dan's not competing there. So, it was kind of more me centric, whereas now it's a bit more team centric. And so that's honestly probably the biggest part of it. And just pushing harder. These guys are all pushing harder. Everybody's going faster. Everybody's driving a little bit closer to the wall. Everybody's putting it a little bit more on the edge of danger. So just mentally stepping it up and being okay with stepping it up and realizing that you have to do that, but also being smart about stepping it up. So those are probably the biggest things that I've had to manage.
Yeah, watching the live stream this past event was interesting. One, St. Louis, they changed the track format. That was kind of different. And I think with the heat and a lot of the different things, it just seemed like it seemed to have its like a different rhythm than St. Louis usually has. I mean, you've been there before. Do you feel that was like kind of accurate?
Yeah, definitely. They changed the inner clip to an outer zone coming around that first little hairpin.
Yeah.
And I think it made the track flow way better. It made it from, it used to feel like a drag race to a super pointy U-turn to a drag race to a super pointy U-turn. And now there's actually a little more, you know, I'm out here swanging to it a little more. It made it fun. It gave a lot more room to the chase driver to like keep proximity through that weird turn.
Yeah.
Which was cool. I thought it was funny that they changed that section, and so many people were talking about it, and that was like such a thing that people were having to adapt to. And Outer Four, that was the same as last year, still
that was really the
was a war everybody. Zone this season. Yeah.
It's true. It's like, that outer zone, there's no doubt. I mean, listen, even last year, it seemed like the war zone was on that hairpin, right? Like, it seemed that was the place where you lost visibility. So if you weren't super on the door when in the chase run, like, that's where all those collisions happened because you were using muscle memory, and the car in front of you, they could be in, like, whatever position when you came through the smoke line, and all of a sudden, that's where all those crashes just seemed to mount up, and there was a lot of drama there. I think with Turk and Chelsea and a bunch of different drivers. So ironically, you talk about the, coming out of that, coming out onto the bank as you finish the course. And you guys had a little bit of a squabble there, right?
Yeah. squabble's a good word.
I'm trying to use my words correctly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Well, before that, even the setup was weird going into four. I kind of saw his car start to transition right behind before you go behind the smoke curtain. You know, so you see them start to adjust, knowing a transition's coming. So I started to transition, and then he kind of straightened and drove into four. So I was super inside because I followed his like initial timing, and then because I was so far off on four, I put it on me. It was 90% my fault, but I had to kind of put a staple on the run, and finishing next to the car, or you know, finishing strong across the finish line, even though it's not judged, still gives some overall impact to the fans and judges, I think, you know, even
whether they say it or not. But if it didn't, Fredrik Osbo wouldn't push hard after every single finish. If you watch that man, he literally is glued to the doors until the second they shut down everywhere. Atlanta, he's on throttle, almost until you're back to the chicane. Like there's something to be said for it.
So I came in too hot, and he had just followed me the previous run. I kind of stay up on the bank. You know, I even anywhere we drive, my philosophy is always give the follow car as much room as you can for them to shut down, just because I don't want anyone, you know, doing what happened to him to me. So I stay high, kind of coast, and then hit the brakes because the turnaround cone is 8 miles down the road. And he kind of came down the bank and braked while I was trying to jump up too close to him. And I personally think it was just kind of a wrong place, wrong time for both of us. More so me, but it is what it is. I went up and apologized. He was understandably a little heated, and yeah, it is what it is. It made it for some pretty cool slow-mo videos.
Well, I will tell you that, did you have to buy a ticket to take flight? You probably...
Yeah. Well, we're actually talking with SpaceX.
That's right. I will say...
I know you guys are working on the hover Koenigs.
That's right.
So I wanted to give you some R&D on takeoff and
landing.
Hey,
man. Yeah. That was a secret, man.
The aerodynamic readings were fantastic. Yeah.
Dropping bombs over here.
I think... It's interesting because you may easily have earned the most air award for this year so far.
It's
like
funny.
Like a hang time counter in GTA or something.
I was super so my daughter and I, you know, we watch the live streams together, and she's like a big fan of your guys. So she was like, you know, I'm in the garage working while we're watching the run. So I think, you know, right when I saw you kind of get off pace a little bit, go into that last, outer zone, I kind of like had turned my back to go back to like putting a socket on the transmission. And like when I did, I hear her go, "Oh my God," you know, and like, like, holy shit, you know, like it looks so dramatic. So what did the car look like afterwards?
Outside appearance looked fine, honestly.
He broke everything.
I broke a little bit of everything. It was a vegetable medley of damage.
Yeah, we patched the car back together to get him out for the one more time. And I say patched, and that still is like new front lower control arm, new kingpins, new knuckle, New rear upper control arm, new rear toe arm, new rear lower control arm.
Yeah.
The shock was leaking. The oil pan was smacked in. The subframe is bent. Like, we ended up actually, once we got it back to the shop and I was able to go through it, like, I replaced almost everything. Like, almost everything is slightly tweaked. So, I mean, in all fairness, nothing broke. Nothing snapped.
Yeah.
Everything tweaked a little bit, which is like best case scenario. Yeah. You know, nothing actually snapped. You know, even the wheels, man.
Like, yeah, the wheels held up.
The wheels came back. It's They're solid. Still. We're running 8 PSI in the back of the tires in that run, and that's not a lot of cushion. And so to come from that kind of height, and then like to think about it like on a bank, so the car's like landing with that extra force, like to carry it down the bank, so like that extra force is still there. Like the fact that the wheels came back with like air in the tires, like is. I mean, a little mind blown. We left the fronts on the car. Even that wheel that was 5 feet in the air, you know, we left those fronts on the car, and he went back out for the one more time run on those same exact fronts. Now, in all fairness, they are a little egg shaped, you know, just on the inside barrel.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you think about dropping a 3,000-pound car from 5 feet in the air on low tire pressures and not breaking an aluminum wheel, not snapping control arms, just everything kind of tweaking a bit, like, right. Man, we were overly surprised at like how well everything held together. It was really impressive, plus just that forward impact to launch the car up like that. That's a ton of forces, so it was impressive. Everything was bent, nothing was broken,
right? It's crazy, you know. And actually, we actually updated our warranty policy right under the area where it says, we just said don't do this, and we put a picture of you all the way in the air.
Launching in the air.
Don't do this. Love and it. Then there's that, but you know, it's impressive to think that you could get that much momentum. I mean, this wasn't one of those things where you drove. I mean, I can't even. So it looked like you got that right rear, the right front tire kind of initially onto his back tire, and that kind of propelled you upward, right?
Yeah, the like forward to forward impact wasn't that significant. It was catching his, you know, turning rear wheel and my opposite turning front wheel.
30 miles an hour and 30 miles an hour equals 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So it's now, like a pitching machine.
Did you end up, I mean, obviously, like you had said on the live stream, all public record, no, nothing ad-libbed. You said, you know, you went to apologize. Obviously, your intention is not to destroy your car. Your intention is not to destroy anybody else's car. But like, you know, it happened. It probably wasn't your finest moment as far as like that wasn't the plan. So this happens and you go to apologize or whatever it may be. Did you get a look at his car? Did you have any sense of like, hey, was this bad for him or was it just annoying?
I think he bent like a rear knuckle.
Okay.
He said, they bent a rear knuckle, and then it messed up some body panels. I know his bash bar like punctured through his rear bumper.
Right.
Which like, I get it. His panels are probably one off. I mean, our panels are one off, you know, but
yeah.
His panels are probably one off as well. There's no more of those. Like he's not calling up, you know, Extreme Dimensions and ordering a Ferrari kit. So
maybe not.
So, you know, like, from everything I understood, that was the majority of the damage. I know later in the event, he said that his power steering belt came off and it was from contact in 32 with us, but that was in like top eight where his power steering belt come off. And so that's in the front of the car. We hit the back of the car. It's like two full battles later, you know, actually 2.5 battles later, because we had a one more time with him. So I think that maybe just have been a bit of still having some emotion in the moment, but I don't really think we caused the power steering belt issue. But from what we understood, a rear knuckle and some body panels is what got messed up on his car. So,
you know, I really think about, and this is coming from a from a fan perspective now. So not like I'm not in the thick of it like you guys are, and I don't have money in the game like you guys have. But when I think about drifting in a sport and building cars and going out, there's, you know, there's some types of racing that I believe that you can go do and expect with almost 100% certainty to not have your car damaged in any way? Autocross, right? Like you're out there, time attack. I mean, if you send it off a cliff or you send it off the track, you know, you do some curb checking, like that's on you. Like there's no one to blame. But aside from that, any motorsport that I've participated in, and drifting has not been one of them, so let's just put that out there. I go in with a sense of, like, I would never put anything on a racetrack that I didn't know there was a potential for some sort of damage or whatever. Drifting has to be at the top of the list of motorsports that are going to have impacts all the time. I understand the frustration behind having body panels damaged. I understand the frustration that he has. But then comes this other piece of it is, like, I understand there might have been frustration from him also because it happened in the area where he thought he was done, right? But in this sport, if you're not prepared to almost get your car destroyed and stitch it back up with zip ties, are you not in the right, like, headspace for this?
Right. Yeah. It's like some people think, yeah, between the start line and the finish line, they're like okay with contact in that zone. But it's like, no, once you pull that thing out of the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, if we cross the finish line by 3 feet and I slam on the brakes and you hit me, is it your fault?
Yeah.
Or, you know, is it right for me to get upset because it was after the finish line? Like, was it an unnecessary place for me to, you know, try to finish next to him or whatever? Yeah, probably. But it's, I don't know. Your chips are on the table. They may not be in play. You may not be playing those chips in this hand, but, like, they're on the table.
My car, I'm of the mentality, like, I just built that thing, but I'm in the mentality of if I total it and it's gone,
is what it is.
It is what it is. You know, right. if we get to drive the race cars back in the trailer in any way, shape, or form, it was a good weekend, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and this is the truth. After watching the bout, you definitely won your lead round. I'm just keep it like that. I'm going to keep it a buck, you know? So that crash would, if that didn't happen, you would have probably moved forward and he probably would have, there wouldn't have been an OT, I don't think.
That's kind of what we were.
We felt that. I talked to FD officials a little bit about it, and they said that it didn't have any play in it. However, I don't think they noticed his straighten into four.
Yeah.
And when you go back and watch it and you're specifically looking for that straighten into four, it is very clear that it wasn't like a drive and then like a reinitiate. And if you go back to my qual run, I zeroed my first qual run. I came out of two, tried to pick up the throttle, the car gripped up on me. You know, I had to work the car a little bit and they said that I reinitiated and they zeroed it. And honestly, I felt like had I not, just a degree, 2 degrees of angle in the car, that would have been like a second place qualifier in Pro Spec. But because I straightened the car up for a split second, they zeroed it. They said it was not chaseable. It was an incomplete. And in my mind, I'm fighting the momentum of the car because we're coming from two into three. So we're shallowing the car up. And so the car is going to want to center grip and straighten up. So I'm fighting the momentum there. So it's more likely to go straight there than from three to four where you're transitioning the car and the momentum of the car should carry you sideways. And so if you're straightening up there, that's a deliberate thing that you're doing. You screwed up. You were going to hit the wall. You decided you needed to save the car by pulling the angle out of it and then get back into it when it's clear. And so in my mind, that's a bigger mistake. And, you know, that may not be how the judges feel, but that should be an incomplete to me. And in that case, I feel like we won that first battle. But, you know, we only have a small window to petition a battle. And because of the contact afterwards, all attention completely went away from what happened on track. It went to, they just called it one more time, fix the car, get it back together. And so, you know, mentally where I think if that contact hadn't happened, we probably would have paid a little more attention to the run itself and caught that straighten and been able to petition for that. but it is what it is, and that's racing, you know? Yeah.
So, and for me, even in the OMT, like, if you didn't, well, so, and that's what I want to ask, you know, from your perspective, what exactly happened once, you know, we're going into your chase run, what exactly happened that made you stop? Because I'm assuming, obviously, it was mechanical in some situation, you know?
Yeah, so basically, we went to the burnout box to see if we needed to call our five or not, to see if the car was drivable, because we were kind of in the point where I just, you know, kind of pulled a bonehead move, and I wanted to not go out there with a car that wasn't, you know, safe, like, responsible to drive. And it felt fine in the burnout box. It definitely felt a little off. I could feel that one of the coilovers was completely empty and just dead. So it was kind of wonky.
But we only have a 5-minute call, so we've got to be like responsible about what we even start to dig into.
Right.
You know, is this drive through? Like, can you manage this? Because if you can, let's drive it. Because if we call the five and we start taking these parts off and we don't get them back in time,
it's over.
That's over,
right?
You know, so. But yeah, I went out on my lead. I was surprised. It was a pretty damn decent run. When I went back to transition to two, the coilover, the tire was actually hitting the frame rail because the frame rail was bent, or the whole pickup points, you know, everything was in like 3 or 4 inches. So I caught the tire at lock, which on my lead run made me bobble and actually put the rear end of the car into the wall a little bit, but it wasn't super noticeable. And then in my chase, I initiated, I think he dirt dropped in one, so I kind of got on the left foot, which added a little angle. Tire caught the frame rail again and just grabbed the front end of the car and spun me out. So
yeah,
it was what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard coming off of some of that stuff.
Yeah.
I really struggle with that whole finish line thing only because, wasn't it, Atlanta a couple years ago where they basically had said, hey, look, you know, if you spin, even coming off that finish line, even if you cross,
it was line. Orlando 3 years ago. Yeah, so it happened to me, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. He, in Pro Spec, actually, we were sitting on the bubble for qualifying.
Right.
To get into the show. This is when Pro Spec only did a top 16. And yeah, he came across the finish line. And this is a fresh build. This is our first round.
Yeah.
First round of FD ever. And fresh build with his car. And this car is a much more simplified version of what it used to be.
Yeah.
And so we were still working through some bugs, and like, you had done what, like 2 laps in the car previous to that?
Yeah, like, something like that.
Like, we literally had no testing on the car, anything. And he came across the finish line and the throttle stuck.
And so
he tried like saving the car.
Right.
But fresh car, you're not sure what's going on. Throttle sticks, like, you know, so many things happening at once. And we rotated the car, and we were
15 feet past.
Yeah, we were a little bit past the finish line when the car actually spun. But they decided in that moment that wasn't chaseable, and so that became a zero.
Right.
And so we didn't make it into the show in Orlando. And then we fast forwarded to Atlanta, and Von Gittin?
Yeah.
I'm 98% sure Von Gittin Jr. Came across the line, looped it, and they still gave him a score. And we were just kind of like,
yeah.
Ah, okay. You know, we talked to them and they had their reasons, and we just said, okay, you know, it's not even in Pro Spec, so like, fighting this isn't gonna, it's not gonna do us so much good. So we let that be. And so, yeah, it definitely became
and there's still been some questionable ones where that rule comes out most of the time, but sometimes for some reason it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, just in the defense of FD judging, It's a tough thing. First off, any subjective sport, I think, is one of those ones that you can always find questionable calls, or calls that maybe you look at without their vantage point and don't really have the same information at your disposal that's being used to make a decision. But, you know, I mean, and I think it's gotten, listen, I will say, I think it's gotten a ridiculous amount better. They are trying to do everything they can to make it as, you know, less subjective as possible. I think having drone footage and different angles is helping them to be able to really go back and look at certain things. But, you know, they are in other vantage points. They're not in the car. They're not on the track. They have smoke. They have interference. So I guess for them to call everything 100% is probably a bigger job than we can ever give them enough credit for, right?
Right, for sure. Right.
Yeah.
No, I'd say the majority of the battles, I'd like not want to be in their shoes.
The level of driving in FD right now is through the roof, and the stuff that they, some of the stuff they catch, I like.
Right.
We're like, how the heck did you guys catch that? Going like, you know, these cars are moving, and they're picking apart like, you know, steering corrections. Yeah. You know, in the middle of a turn where the dude's doing 60 miles an hour, and you're like, I didn't even see that. Like, we drive, and we've been watching this sport for a long time, and like, I didn't even see that. And they pointed out, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that is there, you know? So, like, I would say I agree with FD judges, like, 90% of the time. And I think that's a pretty fair, like, for a judge motorsport to agree 9 out of 10 times. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. I do feel like they've been as consistent as ever this year, too, mm-hmm. with their judging. Like, what was it New Jersey? There was, like, a bunch of 50s, like, all the –
St. Louis.
Or no, it was St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis was some of the most.
Yeah, the most.
Especially pro spec.
Absolutely just crusher points for qualifying. They were just like brutal. Like, they were just like, no, like they picked apart everything. There was no fluff. Like, it wasn't a matter of like, hey, we need somebody to have a high score so that, you know, this looks, you know, like this is doable. They were just like, everybody gets a 70. Deal with it. Like, you know, so.
How much?
It was consistent.
Yeah,
and I think that they've been edging toward that more and more. You're a few weeks now after St. Louis. How's the cars looking? How much attention have they gotten? Are we back to like completely ready to go again already?
Oh yeah, we were savage. We're ready to go. We went out and did here.
I guess we can move this around.
Yeah, let's go. I'm ready.
No, we're looking fresh here.
It looks good.
We didn't do a mid-season refresh, and Casey's car looks great over here too. But yeah, no, doors are all good, suspension's all brand new. But yeah, we didn't do the mid-season refresh, so it was good that I went airborne and gave Casey a reason to have to go through and clean everything up. But
yeah,
the cars look great.
No, all the suspension's been gone through. The car's already been on the frame rack; it's straightened out. We've had a practice day since St. Louis, so we've gotten to get in the cars and feel them out and make sure everything's happy there. So
that's awesome.
So
they're pretty much ready to rip.
So to save some time here and also to kind of close out the conversation, just because I feel like the M-Spec team has been doing amazing work. I mean, you're ranked 11th, you're ranked 12th, Tommy's ranked 7th. I mean, I'm pretty sure that you guys are going to finish at, you know, top 10 all, you know. So what can we expect the next couple of rounds? What can we expect from the team? And then what can we look for going forward into the next year? Are all three of you going to be running again? Or what are we looking like here?
So I guess for this year, expect a whole lot of the same besides the going airborne. we're just going to continue. The events are a little more spaced out than they have been too. The first half of this year was super hectic.
Yeah.
Quarter. We're just going to do what we've been doing. We're going to go out. We're going to, you know, not fight to be the first guys in practice line and put a bunch of stress on the team for no reason. We're just going to, luckily besides Utah, it's all tracks that I'm super comfortable with and tracks that I've driven. So, go out, get a good feel for it, have fun, and just keep going for the rookie of the year.
Yeah, pro spec is one round left, so I know that I'm going to be pushing hard, you know, like wreckers or checkers. Like,
right.
Yeah.
If the car goes down for the season after pro, like after the Salt Lake round, it is what it is. You know, I've got a couple of fun events we want to go drive, but I'm going to push hard for Salt Lake and try and be aggressive and kind of put a staple on the end of the season. I know Tommy's trying really hard. You know, he had that rough first round, and so he's trying really hard to crawl his way back in. And, you know, he's doing a heck of a job, you know, considering going out first in Orlando to be sitting in seventh right now is definitely a testament to his driving. And he's had his fair share of issues. So like to be where he is pretty awesome. You know, so I know he wants to be back in that top three again. So I would see him pushing very hard for a win in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
you know, but no, I think we're just, for the prospect guys, we're just going to push hard. It's the last round. So, you know, if we beat the shit out of the cars, then it is what it is. And that's what they're there for. So
I don't think I have to emphasize it more, man. I mean, you guys know we over here at Koenig, we got so much love for you guys. One of the main reasons I always tell, they know it. I'm constantly wearing the M-Spec shirt here at work and stuff like that, just because you guys remind me of like my boys, man. You guys are going out there shredding, sending it, and that's all we can ask for from fans. We're fans here, you know what I'm saying? Although we support you guys, we're fans. Yeah, so, man, we appreciate it, man.
Fandomly.
That's right. Oh, man. Well, listen, do me a favor. If you can get my R34 finished up there real quick so I can finish picking it up.
Yes, sir.
That would be spectacular. But we appreciate the time. Listen, it's great. It's great having you guys here. It's nice to be able to check in with you. It's also kind of cool to just hear the sides. I think, you know, the one thing, you know, and I think that FD tries to accomplish it with Lorette and some of the sideline reporting that they get, but you know, kind of hearing how things go from the drivers themselves, a lot of times changes the viewpoint for people that are onlookers. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you know, and I think people, you know, it's the same reason I say, like, you know, my one son, he doesn't like to fly, and I always say to him, like, hey, listen, pilots come to work every day. If they thought they were going to die, they wouldn't fly, right? Like, and I think it's the same for you guys. Like, if your intention was to destroy your car every round, and this was an intention thing, like, yeah, you probably wouldn't do this. It just wouldn't be affordable. So there's obviously something else that happens. So hearing the side of it, I think, is pretty interesting. And it's another dynamic that I think fans don't always get. So I think I appreciate you kind of doing that.
No
words.
I like getting the a little bit of time to process it and then get to talk about it too. We're so in the heat of the moment when Lorette's talking to us that, like I said, I'm saying things that, you know, in my brain at the moment were true. You know, that's what happened. And then to really step back and think and watch the video and realize, oh no, that's not what you did. This is what you did. Like, you know, that adrenaline's just absolutely pumping in those moments.
And it's so hot.
It's miserable. Like, I can't, this is disgusting, but I washed my race suit. My race suit is white.
Yeah.
Okay. And
bad choice.
But also good choice. Like, his race suit's got that black material, you know, so he's sitting in the sun just baking, and at least I've got that going for me. But, you know, I'm like, it still looks white, but then we have to like take special care when we wash them and stuff. And so I wash mine in the bathtub, and oh my God, like, it's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
He just wears it in the bathtub. he puts it on and goes in there with a little rubber ducky and some army guys.
But it's just like,
no,
it tells you how hot and how dirty and like, you know, we don't realize how much like crust we're like tire dust we're getting out of our eyes and you know, just the like, it kind of like lets you know when you get home, like, oh no, this was a rough weekend. Like, you know, you put in work. This was, you're in your race suit, but look at how dirty this thing is. Yeah. Like, you put in work. You were sweating. It was dirty. You had tire dust in your eyes. You know, it was not a walk in the park. Like, so it's a lot of work. And we're like I said, we're emotionally charged. The adrenaline's up. So it's nice. I really like getting to get the car fixed and go through it and step back and understand what happened and have appreciation for everything that goes into it and then get to talk about it, because it really puts you in a different mindset, and it's nice to be able to talk about it.
How's Matty boy doing? Is he losing all his hair yet from the stress?
Yeah, well, I think he lost it all preseason.
Yeah,
but no, he's on a nice.
He's on vacation.
He's on a vacation.
Oh, nice!
And
nice.
He's having a great vacation. But he is. Where did he go?
Maryland.
So he went all the way up to the East Coast, and now he's got a 900-hour drive all the way over to Washington. So, hopefully he's got some safe travels and it's not a stressful drive and stuff like that.
But he's probably going to hit the road today to get there on time.
Yeah, right. I'm super glad he got some time off. He's spending time with the family, because he's been going more than he could ever ask anyone to. So
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, it's good having people like him. It's good having people like you guys, like with how destructive this sport is and stuff. I feel like the top guys have the same mentality to where you can't drive like you're worried about shit breaking.
Yeah.
We don't want to destroy the cars, but at the same time, they're a tool. At the end of the day, they're a tool. And if we can't drive with the confidence that if I break this, you know, these companies are going to have my back. It's so much harder when you're going, I've only got two sets of front wheels. And if I break these, I've got to hold back in the next battle
It's super comforting and confidence building knowing that we got supportive people like Koenig, and Part Shop Max has been absolutely killer this year as well.
I'm sure.
To know that, you know, it really just is what it is. You go out there, you push as hard as you can, and if shit happens, then you make something happen to replace it and fix it, and you go from there.
I mean, why would companies want? Well, that's I feel silly asking that question, but when you think about it, the goal for any company that's really authentic and trying to be part of this thing is that you want your driver to be able to do what they can do, right?
Right.
You can't put them in a spot where they're crippled. And, you know, I think that's a hard part, from a business standpoint. A lot of times, you know, we all have, because that's what you have to do, these contracts, because it's all the protective coding for every time you've gotten screwed in the past 40 years. But at the end of the day, it's not, you know, it goes beyond that. The relationship is so important that once you establish that relationship, all of a sudden you start realizing, it's not what it appears. It really is a two-way street. So it's cool to have you guys on the other end of the street, you know?
Well, and there's one more team member that's gonna join our team soon. Mm-hmm. Hopefully Emily gets to put the M-Spec performance on the Mini Cooper.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're going to put some countergrams on that baby. You know what I mean?
It looks good.
I think the Mini Cooper caught on some countergrams. So it's got a little bits of silver trim on the car and stuff. So I think they'll look great. Yeah, she was – honestly, she's so great about everything. Like, she does all our vinyl work and, like, our team shirts and stuff like that. And, like, she's our spotter for both of us. Yeah, and, she honestly, even St. Louis, she lived in the spotter's booth because she spotted for – him, me, Tommy, Bogovich, people that had COVID and their spotters couldn't come and stuff. She was up there the entire round. She spotted for five people.
She's the designated spotter.
FYI, he thought he thought I was talking about my Emily.
That's why. Okay. I was like, okay. Are you kidding me? Like, that's what I was like. But anyhow, yes.
What?
No, I figured it out afterward, but you know.
Got it.
Yeah.
She was driving. She was actually, so Tommy over at Part Shop sent us five packages, just suspension that we broke and stuff. And they all showed up at the house. And so I got the notifications, but I was working on the car. So I was hey, can you bring this stuff to me? And so she gets in her car and she loads up all these heavy suspension boxes by herself. She's 5'2". So she's barely able to carry these things, loads them all in her car, drives down here for me. And she pulls in and she's hey, my tire's low. And I look, and the freaking sidewall's blown out on it. And I'm oh man. So we had to leave her car here last night. I was you know what? These wheels have had it. They're trashed.
They're done.
You know, I'm gonna buy you new tires anyway. So let's hit up the boys at Koenig and let's see about getting some countergrams on this thing. So cool. I think they're gonna look hot. I think they're gonna be good. So
that's awesome.
Heliograms. Those new heliograms.
Yeah, what do you think?
Ooh.
A little bit of I need some bronzies.
We have some stuff coming. It's fun seeing this stuff show up. We have been on one of those things between the pandemic and then the supply chain things that followed and all these things. What happened was we put so much production and effort into making sure that we were covering all these back orders that we literally had pushed off doing new product for a little bit just because people already gave us money. Not us, but our retailers money. You know what I mean? And I say to the guys all the time, even in the sales stuff, you have to always think if you're the person, cause we're the people that we still buy things. And if I buy something from a company and to put on my car or whatever it is, I'm waiting for it the moment I put that order in. Yeah. And so, we had prioritized that stuff, and we did. We selfishly pushed this stuff off, which always makes the launch a little slower. But it's funny because we did most of these wheels over a year ago. So we had samples, you know, a while ago, but then like, and now all of a sudden they're coming in and we're like really seeing them again. They exist. Like, oh yeah, I forgot we did these, you know, like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, I'm excited, man. I think the new heliogram, especially in that B profile, is pretty wild. It looks really good.
Yeah.
I like them. I like, they're similar to these guys, but just a little more, more subtle, as angry and aggressive. I think they're great for the look. I'm sure they'll look great on race cars, but I really think they'll look good for like aggressive street cars.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get you a set, like let Luis know. We'll get you a set out when they come in. It'd be good to get some pictures and stuff anyway. So, yeah, we'll get you a set so you can throw them on there. Let us know what's up.
Sick. Love it. Much appreciated.
Guys, we will let you go. I appreciate it so much that you spent the time with us. And
anytime,
you know,
dude.
Yeah. As always, if you need anything.
We'd love to talk with you.
Yeah, it is.
I need those t-shirts.
Yeah, we need some more, maybe a Koenig banner to throw up in the pits as
Yeah, we'll do that. We also need to make, we've been talking
about
this.
Yeah, we're working on some new stuff, so.
We're going to make some new merch, so send your request to Luis, because he's the guy that has to deal with that.
The liaison.
Yeah.
we rep as hard as we can, so the more stuff we have, the more we're gonna rep it, you know. So
no, I
the
appreciate
same way
it.
You wear that Inspect shirt, man. I'd be living in my Koenig shirt.
I love
shirt.
That. That's so
bro,
cool.
Well, the shirt is great quality. Like you guys made a great like it's whatever you guys chose as far as like the material.
Dan knitted that shirt, dude.
Yeah, dude, I knitted that thing, dude.
Yeah.
Well, and so I think it's a real testament to the mango smoothies in the morning.
Yeah.
You know? It gives you that extra burst.
Yeah.
But it's true. My daughter wears her Inspect shirt all the time, and she is
well. This is a true story. We were at FD, and you guys gave us the cards, and me and her were talking. And we were like, "Yo, let's go get these signed." She's like, "From Stookie." I was like, "All right." She was ready to run, and you guys were already out there.
She's so pumped. My favorite part is like her friends. You know, like you know, she's into this stuff, but like her friends, not a clue. You know, so she's like, I saw her like a week or two, and she had this shirt on, and she was with a bunch of her friends. She was trying, they were like, what's MSPAT? Like, you know, they had no idea.
Yeah.
And so she's trying to explain to her friends, no, you don't understand. Like Dan and Casey, they gave me, they are, she's trying to explain it. And the girl's like, like nothing, you know? But that's awesome. Listen, we'll let you go.
Yeah.
And
thank you so much.
Yeah. If you need anything, anytime, just let us know.
Awesome.
Guys, catch you later.
Have a great one.
Later
boys.
So that stuff it's always good catching up with them. Like, you know, I mean, they're such good people. And I think that makes it, no, I don't think.
Yes.
That makes it so much better because you legitimately, you feel like they make us feel like a part of their team.
Well, and that's what I mentioned. Like I said, that the reason why I love those dudes is it's like, me being at home talking to my boys.
Yeah.
We're just shooting the shit, you know, having a conversation about what was going on. And I appreciate that, man. And that makes it easy to support them because it's like, well, it feels like I'm supporting my friend, which they are my friend.
Well, But I mean, it also like when they're out there and when you need to build that relationship, that level, you know, you feel like, you know, yeah, like you want them, like, you know what I mean? Like when we watch the live stream, we're there.
We're
like,
invested. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's great that they spent the time to come on, and I think it's cool to just see the update and hear from them.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, there may be things floating around on the internet. I heard, you know, especially right afterwards, I saw people talking stuff. They just don't know. Like, you know what I mean? I tend to find that drifting is one of those communities where people are very friendly, and they're more than any sport, they're willing to help each other. So nobody really tries to go after each other.
It's just
yeah.
In some capacity, sometimes competition is healthy, and that's what this is. And
yeah,
I'm all in for it. I'll be tuning into the next one to see what happens. But
listen, and sometimes you got to take out a knife and cut up. You know, no, wait, oh, sorry, wait, that was unprompted. Anyhow, listen. So that's it for this one. We will we'll catch you in the next one. But don't forget, every Friday we put a piece of content. We go live right before the podcast every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern on Instagram and Facebook. Come check us out. And you know,
congratulations to the wheel giveaway winner.
Yeah.
This was to you.
Yeah. So all we'll right, catch guys. You. We'll catch you next week.
Peace.